KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We have a very critical program that you need to hear today, and so we trust you'll stay with us through the course of the hour. Late afternoon, last Thursday, we received word that the so-called Equality Act was formally introduced. In the House, it is H.R. 5. The Senate bill, though it's drafted, is waiting for a bill number. Some have called this the Criminalization of Christianity Act because of the impact that would have upon churches and Christian ministries across the nation. But if you recall, as Joe Biden ran for president, he promised that as a top legislative agenda item, he wanted this passed within his first 100 days. And ladies and gentlemen, in all frankness, it's moving like greased lightning in the House of Representatives. Joining us today, we welcome Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt, thanks for being back with us here again today.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
So due to the significance of this matter, folks, again, it's going to impact every church. It's critical for your pastors and church leadership to be informed. It's critical for ministries across this nation to be informed. So contact people right now. We're going to hit that issue in just a couple minutes from now. We have to first comment on a couple current issues that are going on. Matt, the U.S. Supreme Court just today decided it's not going to be resolving disputes arising from the 2020 elections where state officials violated their own state laws. Three of the justices, though, Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito, have warned that failing to bring a conclusion to the fight could result in catastrophic consequences. Justice Thomas even said for the High Court to refuse to address this is a concern in itself. Important action.
Yeah, he said it's inexplicable and that the case is not moot because even going forward, this same situation can be repeated again, and it's about time that the court weighed in on whether these other individuals who are not authorized to change the rules of the election have the authority to do it outside of the legislature. And, of course, it's really only the legislative body. And we know in several situations it was either the Secretary of State, not the legislature, that continually changed the rules, or in one case it was the state Supreme Court, neither of which would have the authority outside the legislature. I'm disappointed that we didn't have a vote to take the case from Justice Barrett or Kavanaugh, and there's no indication that Barrett recused herself from the consideration. All you need to take a case is four votes. Obviously, you need a majority of five to rule in favor of one party or the other, but you only need four votes. So we're just one vote away from the court taking the case, and I agree with the dissenters, Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito, that the court should have taken this. I think it was a dereliction of duty not to do so.
Yeah, a warning of catastrophic consequences. Matt, today also began confirmation hearings for Merrick Garland. He's been nominated by President Biden to be the U.S. Attorney General. There are many concerned by this nomination.
Yeah, there's many concerns about him. He has been, you know, if you remember, under the Obama administration, he was nominated for a judge position, justice position, and that never did go through. That was a good decision by the Senate Republicans because of his very liberal view of the law and, frankly, of the Constitution, that it's malleable and can do essentially what you want. All of his other radicalism that he has expressed in some of his judicial opinions and philosophy. And now he's up for nomination for the top law enforcement position in the country, the Attorney General of the United States. We know from the Obama administration how Eric Holder abused that position and used that power to come after pro-lifers like Susan Pine that we represented and so many others. And I'm afraid that that would ultimately happen again under Merrick Garland. And certainly the Biden administration.
So, folks, you can be contacting your senators in regard to that nomination. But there's one more here, Matt. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, we've got the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. They are scheduled to meet in a hearing and consideration of Xavier Becerra to be the next Secretary of Health and Human Services. You've run up against this individual in California.
Yeah, he's problematic in so many ways. First, he doesn't know anything about health and human services, but secondly, he's very radically pro-abortion. He's the one who ultimately brought these bogus, politically charged criminal charges against Sandra Merritt and David Dlyden. We represent Sandra in California. It's the first time in the history of the state that any journalist has been prosecuted by the state for criminal activity for doing undercover investigation, all of which was plainly legal. And he actually did a press conference with Planned Parenthood signs in behind him speaking about this case, and the sign said, "I stand with Planned Parenthood." So this is the guy who would be at the very top, who would authorize funding for abortion, who would then also remove conscience protections. If you remember, under the Trump administration, HHS did an enormous benefit to protect conscience protection of pharmaceutical distribution, and other kinds of medical health care providers from being forced to violate their conscience with regards to abortion. So this is the same guy, and we ought to vigorously oppose him for this position.
Okay. Again, folks, tomorrow morning is when that gets underway in the United States Senate committee there, and the phone number for your senators is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Well, we're moving on to the Equality Act, and folks, this is a very, very critical issue that will impact. It will impact your church. It will impact Christian ministries across the nation. Thursday, February 18th, last week, H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, was introduced. Immediately, it was sent to five separate committees for hearings. Friday morning, President Biden tweeted out a message, and here's what he said, quote, "The Equality Act provides long overdue federal civil rights protections for LGBTQ plus Americans, preventing discrimination in our housing, education, public services, and lending systems. I urge Congress to swiftly pass this historic legislation." Matt, this is something that he urged. He said he was going to accomplish this within his first 100 days of office. And as I said to you before we went on air here, there's red flags flying all over the place with warning regarding the so-called Equality Act.
Yeah, it's got the same number as it originally had, H.R. 5 in the House, and then the Senate bill is going to come up with a number pretty soon. But it will affect everyone, not just churches or religious organizations, everyone. It will impact every employer, including religious and nonprofit organizations, contractors, houses of worship, every church in the country, public and private and religious schools, K through 12, and college and universities. All of them will be impacted. Sports, everything you can imagine, hiring. It'll affect a curriculum, bathroom, sports, daycare providers, shelters, hospitals, adoption and foster care, and places of gatherings. Listen to that, places of gatherings, with no numerical limit as to what that would be. So any kind of gathering that, say, a church would have would be covered. That means weddings. That means any other kinds of events that you have, including, it goes down, Jim, all the way to the person that's working from home, just that one individual from home, online, providing any good or service, any kind of service or good provided, whether it's something that they make on their own and they just do this periodically, it's going to affect them as well. This is not only radical LGBT and Q, which the Senate uses the word Q, and in their words, Q stands for queer. That's not my word. It's what's in the actual Senate version of this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it also deals with abortion. So any kind of health care provider that refuses to provide an abortion, that refuses to provide hormone treatment, hormone blocking medication, surgery to remove healthy body parts, can ultimately be sued for a violation of the law under the Equality Act. In other words, if you're going to provide gynecological care and you say, "I'm not going to provide an abortion or an abortion-inducing drug," that's going to be covered by the Equality Act. If you say, "I provide hormone supplements to somebody who needs it, but I'm not going to provide hormone supplements to block somebody's hormones or to increase hormones of the opposite sex," you're going to be covered. if you do surgery, plastic surgery or other kinds of surgery, and you say, I am not going to remove healthy breast or other body parts, you'll be a target under the Equality Act. It's absolutely unbelievable how radical this bill is. This is, and I'm not exaggerating, the most radical bill to ever come from Congress, not only as it takes away and threatens religious freedom, but freedom in general across the board.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. Matt, we're going to spend some time on some of these different areas, and let's begin with this public accommodations, because they do reference restaurants, senior centers, stores, places that provide entertainment. They mention healthcare facilities. They mention shelters, government offices, youth service providers like adoption, foster care. They mention transportation. And they'll say words, those that exhibit entertainment, recreation, exercise, amusement, public gathering, you pointed that out, or public display. Churches are not listed here. Is that on purpose so as not to create alarm? I mean, are not churches places that are considered places of public accommodation?
Well, under this, they will be, because the fact is, and churches have typically been exempt from things like that. But under this particular bill, this bill actually expands public accommodation to a place of gathering, or a place where entertainment is provided, or a place where different kinds of other kinds of gatherings of people are ultimately provided. That means anything a church or a school does will be covered. Moreover, this particular bill is the very first time that it says the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. We're going all the way back to 1993 when that law was passed. This particular bill is the first time to set it aside. It said it shall not provide a claim concerning or a defense to a claim under this particular Equality Act. So you cannot raise religious freedom as a defense using the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
And that's what tells me, Matt, that this indeed is targeting churches and Christian venues. But folks, Matt was just reading, I've got H.R. 5 in my hands from page 25, and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act does not apply. You cannot use this as a defense for your so-called discrimination. And, Matt, the church is in the crosshairs.
Yeah, if you go back to the Hobby Lobby case, remember with the Obamacare, and they were forcing under the Obama administration religious organizations to provide abortion-inducing drugs or devices. And Hobby Lobby ultimately, as a religious organization or employer, filed suit, and they used the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act as a defense. And under that, they won a 5-4 decision at the United States Supreme Court. Now, have the Equality Act pass again, and then the same thing get challenged, Hobby Lobby would not be able to use the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It would lose. And that not only applies to losing on anything related to abortion, but it also applies to anything related to LGBTQ. And this is a very broad perception application, because it even applies if you are perceiving somebody, even though you're wrongly perceiving them. We can talk more about that after the break.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. The Equality Act, so-called, has been introduced, and we're discussing it here today on Crosstalk. Folks, listen in. This is critical information. Don't think you're going to be exempt from the impact of this legislation should it be passed. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how far away is Mars?
Chris, both Mars and Earth are orbiting the sun at different distances. The Earth circles the sun every year, but Mars, being at a different distance and a different speed, has a different timetable. In their elliptical travels, Earth passes Mars every 780 days or so, and at that time is as close as it's going to be for another 2.5 years. In August of 2004, they came the closest ever, but still over 55 million kilometers of distance between them. Chris, the orbits of the planets and the moons are so precise that we can calculate exactly where they'll be at a point in the future. This was God's purpose for the heavenly bodies, to help men keep time. Chris, I think they have accomplished their back to Genesis purpose well, don't you?
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Last week, Thursday, introduced before the House of Representatives, H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act. It also, and we received an email from Open Senator Lesbian, Tammy Baldwin, announcing the Senate version also introduced, but we're waiting for the actual bill number for that to take place. They are very much the same. Talking with us today regarding these is Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. Folks, can I have you have handy a sheet of paper, a pen or a pencil? We'll be providing you phone numbers. Matt's got some great websites here where you can get more information, or you want to get links and send this stuff out to warn people as to the impact that this is going to have. Matt, as we were going into this break, we were talking about discrimination, and you even talked about or the perception. If one knows somebody is in LGBTQ+, or even if they're deemed to perceive that, or how do we determine that? Are we bringing out the thought police into this?
Well, they don't tell you how, and that's the problem. That means that an attorney general of the United States, Merrick Garland, for example, or anybody in the attorney general's position, or an individual that wants to set you up, can file suit against you. And even if you ultimately win, you'd have to spend years in court to defend yourself and spend lots and lots of money. And what it says is that it's not just LGBTQ, not just lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer. And I'm, again, using their terms. But it also is whether it's actual, whether they are actually LGBTQ, and Q would be that they may not be identifying as anything, mm-hmm. or they may be identifying as everything, or a combination of those two. It means that even if they're not in reality, but somebody says, but I think that's what you thought, I think that's what you believed, they have a cause of action under this. Now imagine this in the context of race. Race is fairly straightforward. You can't discriminate on the basis of race. For example, in employment, if you have 15 or more employees over a certain period of time, you can't discriminate on the basis of race. Well, it's pretty obvious whether somebody is of a certain race. You don't have to say, well, I think you thought, I think you had a belief about me as being a black person or a Hispanic person or an Asian person or whatever it may be. But here, there is no definable way to get your mind around what it means to have a perception, even though the perception is inaccurate. The bottom line is, this is a haven for oppressive and harassing lawsuits.
Public accommodations on page 14 talks about stadium or other place of or establishment that provides exhibition, entertainment, recreation, exercise, amusement, public gathering, or public display.
Yeah, listen to that. And those are new insertions. So they struck the word stadium, and then they actually redid it and said stadium, and then they gave all these other lists. So these are all brand new. Or other place of establishment. That would mean anything. That provides exhibition. What is exhibition? They don't say. But that's something that is obviously, you know, public, or something that you are advertising, for example. Entertainment. If you have a youth group, you have a concert, recreation, exercise, amusement, public gathering, or public display. Anything like that is now going to be covered under the so-called public accommodation. So you can imagine it's everything. Now, Jim, when you go over to the next page here on page 15, it says that this particular Equality Act, quote, shall not be construed to be limited to a physical facility or place. In other words, public accommodation, typically you understand what that is. A restaurant. Restaurant cannot say that you can't enter here because of your race, but you know that's a particular restaurant. It's a identifiable location. I was trying to get in, they wouldn't let me in. Under the Equality Act, there's no place or facility that it's limited to. So on the one hand, it's not reality that they're looking at. It's even your belief, and that can cause a lawsuit even though they're misrepresenting your belief. And number two, they can't even limit it. You're not even limited to a physical facility or place. I wasn't allowed to enter this particular place because it doesn't apply to a place or a facility. That's the incredible expansion of this bill across the board.
Matter of fact, Matt, on page 14, line number 21, it even uses words like it applies to an online retailer and service provider. I mean, it's right there. I mean, it's does that open up your home to?
Yes. Yeah, and if you and again, it doesn't define what an online retailer or service provider is. So if you're working out of your home and you have a part-time hobby or even a part-time business, or maybe that's what you do, maybe you're selling things on eBay or you're doing some other things that you're providing. Maybe you're creating Christmas decorations and ornaments and you provide those at Christmas. Boom, you are covered by this Equality Act. That has never happened before. The federal government has never come down to that micromanaged level, and yet the Equality Act, if you can kind of imagine the states and then the federal government over that with a few tentacles reaching into the states on transportation or whatever it might be, now with the Equality Act, these tentacles just go everywhere, and they cover every area of your life.
Friends, there's no mistake what this is about. This is a 31-page piece of legislation, H.R. 5, and when you put in some key words, you're going to find the word orientation for sexual orientation 67 times listed in this legislation. The word sex, 176 times. Gender identity, 63 times. Transgender, 7 times. Same sex, 7 times. There's no mistaking what this is about. Now, Matt, when we talk about desegregation, people will right away think about black and white as far as skin color is concerned. And, you know, the issues pertaining to what happens in the classroom or riding a bus or drinking from a drinking fountain, those types of things. We think of that word desegregation. But I see also on page 15, line number 20, they talk about a desegregation of public facilities and adding the words sexual orientation and gender identity. So in like manner, this is giving full bore access to the restrooms, locker rooms, showers, private areas for somebody who perceives themselves as being something that they are biologically not.
Right, exactly. And so whether it's shower rooms, restrooms, locker rooms, no matter what it is, whether it is the receptionist at the church, whether it is in your dorms at school, you cannot limit. Now, they say, well, you might be able to, in some situations, have male and female, but then as long as it also includes gender identity. In other words, you can have male-female dorms, per se, but if somebody is a male and says, well, I'm a female and I want to be in the female dorm or vice versa, you can't stop that person from being there. And that goes down. It's not just college. We're talking about your overnight stays when you're taking your youth out of whatever level, all the way down to the youngest children, up through teens and college and so forth. You're taking them someplace. That means you cannot say the guys are going to stay on this side of the hotel and the girls are going to stay on the floor below or on the floor above, wherever. We're going to put them in different locations or in different houses. If somebody says, but I want to be with the girls because I identify as a girl, I said, no, the boys' side's on the other side. The church, the religious organization, the school is subject to a lawsuit.
Matt, I'd like to point out something else, too, because, again, the bill is so explicit. Page 23, and I'm looking at line number 16, with respect to gender identity, here's what it says. An individual shall not be denied access to a shared facility, including a restroom, a locker room, and a dressing room that is in accordance with the individual's gender identity. That's not my words. I'm reading directly from the bill. Matt, so again, this puts into language that very aspect. And can you imagine sending your daughter into a dressing room? All of a sudden they have a man who thinks he's a woman or suffering from gender dysphoria go in there as well to try on clothing?
Yeah, or, you know, your teacher in your school, the teacher in the daycare, and now that person says, I want to identify as a, the opposite sex,
right,
and come to work, come to class and teach like that, come to your Sunday school. You can't say no. And, you know, the Supreme Court has indicated that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is a strong deterrent from a religious freedom standpoint. This law says, well, you can't raise it. And, you know, going back to this, how far it's extended, it applies to an individual's actual or perceived romantic, emotional, physical, or sexual attraction to other persons, or lack thereof, on the basis of gender, LGBTQ people, including gender non-binary people. That means somebody who says, well, I'm neither male nor female, or I'm both. In fact, Jim, remember in your school, the person who was teaching, who did the video, K through 5, and said, you have to now call me Mix,
rather than Mr.? That was in Madison Schools, Wisconsin.
Right there in your state in Wisconsin.
Yep.
It told the kids, you got to call me Mix now because I am male and female, and sometimes both and sometimes neither.
Yeah. Matt, also circling back, this does include shelters. Are there not shelters for battered women who would be subject to being placed with men who identify as women?
Yeah, there are. And obviously, women who had been raped or had been battered by men, and they go into a shelter, they don't want men to be bunking with them. And yet, in this particular bill, a shelter is covered. So a man who wants to come in and bunk with and be treated exactly right beside the same cot as the women says, but I identify as a woman, you know, checks in, you can't come here, this is for the women only, but I identify as a woman, you have to let that person in there. If not, you're subject to lawsuits and enormous fines and penalties under the Equality Act.
Matt, this is sheer lunacy. These shelters, that also impacts our rescue missions across the country?
Rescue missions, food banks, service or care centers, whatever that is. I mean, that would be anything that provides service or care, shelter, funeral parlors. So, you know, in the case of somebody who comes to work and says, in a solemn place like a funeral home, I want to start dressing. And it's not somebody who just is a male, but they've made themselves to kind of look like a female or vice versa. It's somebody who could have, you know, a beard as a man and yet says, I want to be a woman. Somebody who comes in and dresses with, you know, skirts and so forth like that, which would be very odd for somebody to encounter in a funeral home, in a place where, you know, you're trying to comfort people, or in a school or a daycare or a shelter. That's why it's so broad. It is breathtakingly broad, and it is the most dangerous bill, I believe, to ever come from Congress to threaten our freedom, the moral foundation of the country, the family, every aspect of religious freedom, every, frankly, aspect of our life.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. We're just seconds away from a break. We're going to delve a little bit further into this because this is also impacting our Christian adoption and foster care agencies. It is also delving into employment, who you'd hire as well. And so we'll be covering some of those issues as well as answering the question, what can I do? So be ready for some of those action steps here as well to let your voice be heard as it relates to H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, this extremist piece of legislation was introduced last Thursday. It is H.R. 5. It does have a Senate companion, though we're waiting for the number of that bill to come out. But the text is there. You can read it even through some of the legislators' websites as well. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. We've got more to unpack here during this quarter hour, and so be ready to jot down information. Just have that handy, a sheet of paper, and something to write with here as well. So, Matt, we're talking about the desegregation of public facilities, and by desegregation, they're talking about full, you know, sexual orientation, gender identity, how somebody even perceives themselves, but they also call for the desegregation in public education by adding sexual orientation and gender identity. So again, there's no lack of clarity in this. This will impact every school, every business, secular or sacred alike.
Yeah, no question. And when it says that public education, it's not just referring to, you know, public schools. It's referring to education, and it's going to affect every K through, or even, you know, pre-K through whatever level, college, university, graduate school, technical school, professional schools, all of these schools will be affected. And it specifically mentions Title IX, which is the provision of the federal law that was originally designed to provide equal opportunity for women to engage in sports. So if you have a men's baseball team, you need a women's softball team to provide them opportunity there, or other kinds of equivalent. What this does is it says, yeah, and the men can compete. And we've seen this happening even this year, particularly in Connecticut, where the top competitors now are men in the women's sports.
Adoption, foster care also impacted.
Yeah, adoption, foster care. So if you have Christian foster care, adoption organizations that are in the, and there's many of them, there's many Catholic and Christian and other adoption agencies and foster care that want to put children in the best possible environment with a mother and a father, a male mother and a male father and a female mother, you know, a natural male-female parent arrangement. And under this, somebody can come in and even set you up, for example, even by giving an email inquiry, and if you decline, they've got a lawsuit against you because they're going to say you discriminated on the basis of LGBT. It's a LGBTQ. It's a violation of the Equality Act.
Matt, housing is also being impacted by this, and I know there are many people that will rent out a room or perhaps the upper part of their house or something, or the lower part of their house. They also are subject to all the provisions of this as well.
Yeah, and usually, you know, public, those kinds of provisions are if you have a certain number of houses that you represent or that you actually offer for rent or, you know, something of that nature. But this is going to cover your home, bed, and breakfast. It's going to cover your extra room that you, if you're near a college, for example, and you have a room in the basement or you have a spare room that you want to rent out to a college student during the school year, you're going to be covered as well.
Mm-hmm. Matt, there is also on page 5 of this legislation, they address a term that they created called conversion therapy, which they call a form of discrimination that harms LGBTQ people by undermining individual sense of self-worth, increasing suicide ideation and substance abuse, exasperating family conflict, and contributing to second-class status.
Yeah, so this is a national ban on counseling regarding anybody who seeks to change or overcome unwanted same-sex attractions or gender confusion or any kind of behavior or romantic attraction to somebody of the same sex. You know, we won a big case at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals regarding a similar law that we got struck down in South Florida. This would put it on a national basis, and it would prohibit a client from coming. And this is, by the way, not limited to young people under age. This is everybody.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what age. You come to a counselor. You're struggling with some kind of issue with respect to unwanted same-sex attractions, behavior maybe you've engaged in. You don't want to do it. You want to overcome it, and you seek a professional's help. This would say, no, you can't do it. This would be a violation of the counselor to even provide it or even refer you to somebody who could provide it. And it's not limited, by the way, to licensed counselors, Jim. It would also include the pastoral staff as well.
Wow. Matt, I would like to bring a legal issue up, and that is, I saw referenced in this H.R. 5, they bring up the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment as being justification for this. Could you address that?
Yeah, the H.R., you know, the 14th Amendment is an equal protection provision. But you have to understand where it came from, the 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendment. They were all adopted to eliminate discrimination on the basis of sex, male and female, and race. And it's pretty obvious, male or female discrimination. And it's pretty obvious about race. I mean, it's obvious, it's objective. You're born as male or female. You're born of a particular race. It's something that's immutable. You do not and cannot change that. And now they're saying, well, that is the basis for this. Well, that is nonsense. There is no basis in the Constitution for the Equality Act or for any impetus for the Equality Act. The Equality Act goes far beyond anything ever passed by Congress in history.
One other legal issue I'd like you to address, and in the findings of this legislation, they reference a Supreme Court decision that was released in 2020, Bostock versus Slayton County. How does that apply to this?
Well, Bostock was with regards to employment. It never dealt with public accommodations, and it was quite limited in that respect. It was a terrible decision, a 6-3 decision that came out last year. Frankly, a surprising decision because Gorsuch wrote the opinion and Roberts was part of that majority. Now, this was before Barrett was on the bench, so if she was on the bench, it would probably be a 5-4 decision, but still be in favor of this. Now, Bostock was a terrible decision, and so they cite it as though it is wind in their sails, but then they say, but it doesn't go far enough, and we're going to go way beyond that. The other thing, if you remember when we did this before last year following the Bostock decision, the case involving the funeral home was a transgender person. This was a male who wanted to come to work and identify and look like or dress like a female, and the Christian employer said no. They won below in the lower district court using the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. They lost in the Court of Appeals. And inexplicably, they dropped the Religious Freedom Restoration Act while they were at the Supreme Court. Big mistake. Because the Supreme Court said there's no longer a religious freedom claim in front of us. It was below, but they dropped it. But if there were, it's a strong law and likely they would have prevailed. Now this says no. We're not going to allow you to use the Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Okay. Well, folks, there's going to be much at play in this. And, Matt, that really brings us back full circle. What can I do? I see H.R. 5 here, Matt. There are 435 members of the House of Representatives, but I see this bill. There are 223 co-sponsors, more than half of the House. I'm looking on the Congress's website right now. Every one of these co-sponsors in the House of Representatives is Democratic. They have a majority. They have the votes there to pass. It's going to go to a Senate as well, which is Democratic majority. The question is, what can I do?
Well, I think, you know, we need to really put pressure on some of these Democrats in the House, and hopefully one or two of them or a couple of them would change, and that would stop it from even going over to the Senate. And I think that that's still a possibility. I don't want to rule that out. It passed overwhelmingly in the House the first time it was through, and you see now that those numbers, that split has become very, very close with more Republicans taking over House seats. The other thing is when it goes to the Senate, and this is where we were able to stop it last time, because the Senate was controlled majority by Republicans, and we were able to stop it in the committees, and McConnell committed not to bring it to the floor. So we're able to stop it. However, now it's a 50-50 tie with a one-vote margin. But there's some senators in there, like Joe Manchin, who otherwise has voted for pro-life issues. This thing is a very pro-abortion bill as well as a pro-LGBT bill. And all we need is a few. And I believe, you know, the main thing is we want to push this to a point where they would have to break a filibuster, which would be 60 votes. And they're not going to have 60 votes in the Senate. So what we need to do is watch out, because they know they don't have 60 votes in the Senate. So they're going to try to do a couple of sneaky things, and one is with the upcoming reconciliation bill, which is a 50 plus 1% majority. And we are working with members of Congress to make sure that there is a person on the floor every minute until the end of the day, and that could go even well into the early morning hours, to object. Because what they have done or what they tried to do with a bill in the past is they passed a rule to be able to do a majority, and that's what they'll do with reconciliation. And then they finish that, and they allow people to kind of like leave, and then they quickly bring up another bill and have it passed under that rule of the majority. That's a tactic that we have to avoid. And so we're working with members of Congress to guard every minute of the day. Bottom line is, we might be able to throw some cogs in the gears in the House. We need to try. Mm-hmm. But our big focus is also going to be on the Senate, and that's where our major push will ultimately be.
Friends, if they lose, what, just five or six co-sponsors in the House, they don't have the majority with this any longer. And so contacting your member of the House at this number, the main switchboard number. Now, if you want their direct number, go to house.gov. You can find your legislator, get the direct number. I'm going to give you the main switchboard number to the House of Representatives, which is 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. You have one member of the House, you have two members in the Senate. And the House side is H.R. 5. The Senate, you just refer to it as the Equality Act because they have not gotten a bill number yet. You can contact your senators at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Now you say, boy, I really need more information about this. Matt, you've got it available on your website. How can our listeners access it?
Yeah, you can go to lc.org/HR5. lc.org/HR5. We have a lot of information there, bullet points. You can send a fax. You can also sign a petition to these members of Congress. You can see the list of the co-sponsors there on the HR5 on the House side. Lots of information. lc.org/HR5. We also have similar information at lcaction.org/HR5. lc.org/HR5, those are going to have all the information you need.
Okay, folks, again, I'll give you those websites. I'm also opening our phone lines here at Crosstalk. We're going to take calls. Just formulate your question really quickly, and we'll have Matt address it. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Again, the website where you can download information or give this site to your pastor, to your church leaders, LC, that stands for Liberty Council, lc.org/HR5. That's lc.org/HR5. And also lcaction.org/HR5. lcaction.org. And again, that is /HR5. We're going to take a quick break. I see the phone lines are already packed, so we'll come back to more to your phone calls after the break. But friends, this is a time of prayer for this nation. This is a time for contact of those who represent you in the House of Representatives and in the United States Senate. We'll be back here in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I spent hours listening to the keynote addresses from the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Conference. Hours, boring hours, listening to pull out the few nuggets. What were they saying that I call nuggets? Well, they were spilling their guts on what they really want to accomplish, which is global fascism. They were openly talking about merging big government and big business. They were talking about social credit scores virtually for American corporations and all corporations worldwide. Those corporations that obey the political correctness when it comes to radical environmentalism, social justice, critical race theory, and others, well, they'll be rewarded. They openly called for punishment on the corporations that don't obey. Understand, social credit scores are coming for individuals and for your small business, and they will punish you if you don't get in line.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, the website lc.org/HR5, lcaction.org/HR5. There is a video on the site there as well. And you can watch the video where Matt explains this. It's about 7 minutes long. You can play this video at your services. You can become better informed what this is about. So go to those websites. And if you have further questions, Matt, they can also contact Liberty Counsel, correct?
Yeah, they can contact us at 407-875-1776, 407-875-1776.
Let's go to Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin. You're on to your Tom.
Yes, Jim, you know, growing up on the farm, when we're making hay and we see black clouds on the horizon and the harvest is plentiful but the laborers are few, we don't run off of the hay field. We double down, and I'm asking people to actually make these phone calls. It's critical. Don't just be on the sidelines. Actually call these numbers.
Thank you for that, Tom. And Matt, we understand, I mean, some of the information that's been received, even though this was introduced just last Thursday in the House, they may be voting on it this week.
Yeah, the House is planning to vote on it as early as Thursday, and then the Senate will pick it up after that.
My.
We don't have a time frame. But the time frame right now for the House is they're moving on it this week with an anticipated vote on Thursday. And to the last caller, that is so right. Don't sit back and say, this is terrible, it's awful, somebody else will do it. Everyone listening needs to take action.
Let's go to Jeremy in Erie, Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Just a quick question for you. I'm a local school board member, and I'm concerned about this H.R. 5 bill and what I can do locally and also at the state level to make more people aware of this, because I have two young daughters. Mm-hmm. And not only for my church, I'm worried about that, but also what's going to happen in schools with this bill as it proceeds and goes through.
Thank you,
yeah.
Jeremy. Matt?
If you go to lc.org/HR5, in fact, I'm on there right now, we have a lot of that information. We actually have testimony before Congress. This was in 2019, but it's the same exact number of the bill, and it's the same exact bill. And we have testimony that was presented about the impact on schools and girls' sports and bathrooms and restrooms and so forth, and in so many other places as well. We have lots and lots of information that's presented here. Look, you know, some people don't think about this, but EMS people, they ask people, you know, whether they're they make decisions on how much medication they need to give you in an emergency based upon whether you're male or female. Different genders have different requirements. Under this, it's wiped out.
Wow.
Yeah, very concerning.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you, Jeremy. Let's go to Brad, West Dallas. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. The 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act applies to everybody. It's not just erased by some legislative fiat within the wording of another bill. That's a baby's way of thinking. If they don't want it to apply, they need to stand up like a man and try to repeal it and get their hands dirty a little bit so everybody can see how it matches the rest of them.
Well, actually, Congress, the legal precedent for that is that a subsequent bill can, especially if it references a previous bill, it's Congress's current intent that while the RFRA may apply outside of this, it's not going to apply to this particular bill.
Wow.
So
wow.
They know what they're doing in that respect to actually carve out an entire section concerning which the Religious Freedom Restoration Act will not apply, and it's not going to apply to any of the tentacles of the Equality Act. In other words, you can't raise it as a claim, or you can't raise it as a defense when you're sued.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand why they can get away with that without a repeal.
Well, it's a standard thing that happens within Congress. You can have a bill that they pass, and then you can have a subsequent Congress say, but it's not going to apply to this particular bill.
So you can really do that. Huh?
They can really do it. It's shocking, and it's never happened with regards to RFRA since 1993. It's very rare for Congress to do it, but here they are, and they're doing it.
Thank you, Brad. Let me just say this, Matt. Let's go back to the words of Chai Feldblum, who was head of the EEO, when was asked, you know, well, what about religious liberty and versus, you know, LGBT rights? And And Feldblum said this, I'm having a hard time coming up with any case in which religious liberty should win. Sexual liberty should win in most cases. There can be a conflict between religious liberty and sexual liberty, but in almost all cases, the sexual liberty should win because that's the only way that the dignity of gay people can be affirmed in any realistic manner.
Yeah, so when they call it the Equality Act, it's not equality at all because it's elevating a brand new LGBT agenda above everything else, including the first, you know, including religious freedom. There is no equality when it comes to anything that's contrary, even in belief, to this LGBT radical agenda, the Equality Act.
Michelle is calling from Ohio. Michelle, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. I wanted to check with Matt. By the way, since they're using H.R. 5, the same one they did before, the Senate bill previously was 788.
Right.
Then they went individual to states with the Fairness Act.
And Michelle, we're almost out of time. Go right to your question, please.
My question is, from previous, I heard that this will spill over to our sermons, and no one will be able to preach a sermon on homosexuality. They'll do just like they did in Canada with who they were fighting 50
times. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, I think you'll have even parts of the Bible that are going to be attacked. If you promote or say something about the Bible, it'd be like promoting this. Here's the idea. What you cannot legally do with respect to race, you will not be able to legally do, and even more so with respect to anything related to LGBTQ.
My. Michelle, thank you for the call. We're out of time. I do want to give information here again, folks, where you can let your voice be heard. There is a phone number to your congressman and that to the House of Representatives, 202-225-3121, 202-225-3121. To your senators, it's 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Get the link from Liberty Council. Send that out. Get a link of today's Crosstalk. Send that out at crosstalkamerica.com, libertycouncillc.org/HR5. If you miss the information, you can contact Liberty Council at this number, 407-875-1776. Matt, a very critical time for people to be engaged in this critical matter.
No question about it. You need to not only pray, but please act and share this information with your friends.
Matt, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
And, folks, I know we've moved fast through this information, but you'll find so much at Liberty Council's website. And, again, if you missed it, contact them. Connect with them, 407-875-1776. Have your pastor give them a call, folks. It is that critical. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.